بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، Now, brothers and sisters, the usul of the dunya, the rule and normal rule of the world is you don't get a medal for doing your duty. You get a salary. You get a medal for doing something more than your duty. Right? Anywhere. Whether in civil service, whether in business, industry, military, even at home. Nobody will thank you for doing your noble job. When you do more than what you are expected to do, that's when you get the medal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala applied the same rule with himself, Jalla Jalaluhu. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Right? Allah did not say, مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Allah did not say, you cannot reach the level of al-birr, which is Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until you spend from what we have given. No. Allah said, until you spend something which you love the most. Yeah? Mimma tuhibbun. Now, when this ayat was revealed, when this ayat was revealed, Abu Talha al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu, he had a date garden. He had a date orchard, which was considered to be one of the most valuable pieces of real estate in Medina. So he came to Rasulullah with the papers of that, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I give this in the path of Allah. Now, this date garden, incidentally, was something which Rasulullah used to go there often, because it was very, very thick, and it had very thick shade. I don't know how many of you have you ever been inside a date garden, a date orchard. Yeah? You should go if you haven't gone. It's worth going, especially in Medina. If you go on the Medina Badr Road, there are many of these. And I remember the hadith where this bird was trying to fly out, and it got, you know, couldn't go out, couldn't find a space. And when I read the hadith, I was thinking, you know, how is it possible a bird can't find a place to go? And when I went into one of these date gardens, I realized, yes, it is possible. It is like a roof. It is the leaves of the mature date palms, they grow so close together, it's like a roof completely. So there is the temperature, the difference in temperature between outside sunlight and under the date trees is maybe 10, 15 degrees lower. It's cool, literally cool. Now, this garden also had a well of sweet cold water. It had a wall around it, and the date garden itself had a wall around it. And Rasulullah used to go and sit sometimes in this date garden. He would sit on this parapet of this well. And on a side note, there is a beautiful hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said that one day Rasulullah was not to be seen anywhere. So the Sahaba got worried. They started searching for him. Where has he gone? Here, there. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, I remembered that he used to go to this date garden. So I went there. I couldn't find any place to get inside, because the wall, it must be the gate was locked or something. So there was a freshwater irrigation drain, a channel which went under the wall. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu crawled in through that. See the love of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He crawled in through that, and he said, I found Rasulullah sitting on the parapet of this wall. And he said, Ya Abu Huraira, go and tell the people that anyone who said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him, give Jannah. So Abu Huraira said, I was very happy, but I said to him, Ya Rasulullah, who will believe me? Nobody will believe me if I say this. So give me some proof, evidence. So Nabi said, take my shoes. Now he had wooden clogs. Yeah, I don't know how many of you have seen those. In my country, they use them. It has one single stud in the middle, which comes between the big toe and the other toe, and you walk with them. So he was wearing those. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu picked up those, he put it on his head, and he went towards the marketplace of Medina with the intention of announcing this. On the way, he met Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So Sayyidina Umar said to him, where are you going with this? Whose body is this? He said, these are the shoes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidina Umar said, where are you going with these shoes? He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to announce that people, tell the people, if you say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Allah will give you Jannah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu thumped him. He didn't hit him, he sort of thumped him on his chest, but you know, Sayyidina Umar was a huge, big man. He was very strong. Abu Huraira was a thin, slim man, so Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu fell down. And he started crying. Sayyidina Umar grabbed him, he picked him up. He said, no, you are telling lies. I have to go and verify this. Take me to where the Rasulullah is Sahib. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu took him, he's crying, poor man, you know, when he gets beaten for nothing. So he went there and he said to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, this is what Umar did to me, radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, he said this. Rasulullah said to Sayyidina Umar, yes, I told him to do it. He didn't reprimand him, incidentally. It's an interesting piece in that. He didn't say, why did you hit him? No, he didn't say anything. He said, yes, sir, he verified. Then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, Ya Rasulullah, with respect, please do not announce this. Otherwise, the people will not do any work. They will stop all action. They will say, Alhamdulillah, I said, La ilaha illallah, khalas, enough for me. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not counter or contradict that also. So to come back to my story of this ayat, Abu Talha al-Ansari, the owner of this garden, he brought the papers to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to give this in charity. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, why? He said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَن تَلَلُ بِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. And I love this property more than anything else. He had other properties. This one is my favorite. Rasulullah said to him, see the hikmat of the Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi salam said to him, sell it and distribute the money among your own family and relatives. He didn't take it. He said, sell it and distribute the money among your own people. He didn't say, don't sell it. The point I want to make is, it is doing more than what is required which gets us the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not get the fundamentals, the fara'id are the fara'id. The fara'id are the boundary condition. If you do not perform the fard, if you do not complete the fard, then depending on your intention and various things, you can actually get exited from Islam. When the reward comes for more than fard. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made 5 salawat fard on us. Fajr, Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. If somebody deliberately does not pray, then one opinion is that the person has exited Islam even if he deliberately left one salah. I'm not talking about leaving because of tiredness or forgot or something, but I will not pray. Then this person has exited Islam. But which is the salah for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first level of heavens and announces, who is there who needs something from me, ask me and I will give. Who is there that needs my protection, ask me and I will protect him. Which salah? For Fajr? For Zuhar? For Asr? For Maghrib? For Isha? No. For which one? Qiyamul Layl, Tahajjud. Extra. Tahajjud is nafil, it's not fard. If somebody does not pray tahajjud his whole life, this will even not go to Jannah for that reason. He would have made himself, he would have lost a great deal of goodness. That's a different issue, but he will not be questioned about why did you not pray tahajjud. This is not the question. Why did you not pray the fard is the question. The fard is the boundary condition, but the reward is for doing more than the boundary condition. You pray the fard, plus now when you pray tahajjud, Allah says, okay, here is the reward. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Buzamir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقْرِضُوا اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. So zakat is already mentioned. Salah is mentioned. Zakat is already mentioned. But Allah is saying, and وَأَقْرِضُوا اللَّهَ, meaning more than zakat. Not only zakat. Zakat is mentioned. Khalas, 2.5% gold, silver, whatever, any other things. This is done. If you don't pay the zakat deliberately, if you don't pay the zakat, again, same issue. Out of Islam. But if you pay the zakat and you pay more, وَأَخْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنَّ اللَّهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا. Allah said, whatever you send before you, you will find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an enhanced condition. Much more condition. Right? So we get for giving more than what is due. Not for doing just the bare duty. I want to close with one of my favorite stories of the Salafus Salihin in this context. And that is the story of Hatib al-Asam, Rahmatullah Ali. Hatib al-Asam, Rahmatullah Ali, was one of the ulama and one of the fuqaha who lived in the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Rahmatullah Ali. So one day, now he operated on the principle of giving in charity, giving away whatever he considered to be zayd al-daruri. Zayd al-daruri. More than necessary. And according to him, necessary was not, a $1 million home and Persian carpets. And because we have, even we think we are living only daruri. His daruri was like the Sahaba. Food for a day, maybe a little bit more than a day, and so on and so on. Not the American home, typical. There's a huge fridge in the kitchen. Then there's one more huge fridge in the basement, in the garage. Then there is a freezer. And every year, half of that food goes into the landfill. Because it gets this expired, that expired, that expired, it gets thrown. At least in our country, somebody eats it. But here, no. Nobody will touch it. Thrown. So, Hatib al-Asam, Rahmatullah Ali, had obviously very little. Because whatever was extra, he would give it away in charity. So, one day, Hatib al-Asam was very sad. And he was sitting in his house and he was crying. So, his little daughter came, she saw the father, she said, Abi, why are you crying? What happened? He said, no, it's okay, you can't help me. She said, no, tell me, what is the issue? He said, the issue is that I want to go for Hajj. He said, I have this thing in my heart this year that I must go for Hajj. But I have only enough money to pay for the Hajj trip. I mean, those days they were going in a caravan, they would to take with them, maybe the whole trip was 6 months or something. So he said, I have only this much money. And I have a little bit more for you people, but not enough. And I asked your mother said, no, you can't go. Because you can't leave us without, enough provision. So he's crying. So the daughter said, don't worry, I will take care of the mother. You make your plans. Daughters are very powerful, huh? So this daughter went to the mother, she convinced her somehow. So the mother said, okay, go. So Hatib al-Asam and Rahmatullah Ali left some, whatever little money he had for the family, and he left. Now, on the way, a day or two into the desert, the chief of the caravan Sardar, he got bitten by a scorpion. And he was in terrible pain. So people knew Hatib al-Asam, so they said, please come make dua for him because he is in this terrible situation. Hatib al-Asam made dua for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured him. So his pain went away. Yeah? This is the power of the people, dua of the people who spend in the path of Allah. Instantly. That man was so happy, he said to Hatib al-Asam, he said, yes, Sayyidi, you are my guest. Here is your money which you gave me for the caravan. I don't need the money, keep the money. You are my guest, I will take you, keep you there, bring you back home. Forget, your trip. This trip is on me. Ajib, the khudrat of Allah. So Hatim al-Azam rahmatullah alayhi raises his hand and says, Ya Rabbi, you took care of me, now take care of my family. Meanwhile, the family is in trouble because now what money they had and so on, they've eaten. Week passed, 2 weeks passed, they are... And now everyone is on this little girl's case. And everyone is, you know, telling her, you are the cause of all this. The father was here and you made us... Mother said, you made me agree to let him go. And now look at this, we are in difficulty. We don't have food and this and that. And this girl is laughing. She is smiling and laughing. So they said, what kind of thing? I mean, we are in difficulty here and so on and you are laughing. She said, look, who left? Ar-Razzaq or Marzuq? Hey? Who left? Raziq, Ar-Razzaq or Marzuq? They said Marzuq because Hatim al-Razzaq after all. So she said, why Ar-Razzaq is here? If Marzuq left, what is your problem? The one who is feeding is here with us. إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين وما
يبر
الرزاق وما على مرزوق left. So what is this? Now while this conversation is happening, somebody knocks on the door. They go to see who it is. It is the ADC of the governor. Of the Amir of the province. Right? His military assistant. So he says to him, the man said to them, the governor is passing by here, we have run out of water, can you give us some water to drink? So I said, of course, they went and they took the water from their well, they put it in a nice jar, jug, and you know, they put a tray and a nice tray cloth and all that. They give it to the governor after all the Amir. It went. Now this governor drank the water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put such barakah in this water. The man drank the water. He said, this is so sweet. This water is, I've never drunk water like this in my life. Where did you get this water? So they say to me, I say, this is house. Whose house is it? Hatim al-Azam. Who Hatim al-Azam, the scholar, the alim? He said, yes. He said, take me to, I want to meet him. They said, no, he is not here. He has gone to on Hajj, only his family is here. So the Amir says to his, calls his ADC, he says, from now until he comes back, the whole family are my guests. Food will go to them from the palace every day. And whatever they need will be given to them from the palace, make a note. Okay? Then, not enough, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The governor then takes his horse, goes to the wall of this house. You know, they used to wear these belts. So these belts had jewels and everything else and encrusted, and then they would have pockets, and obviously the governor's belt pocket didn't have pan supari in it, you know, it had gold coins. So he took off his belt and he threw it over the wall. And he said, whoever loves me, do what I have done. And next thing you know, there are pouches and belts and stuff flying over this wall. These people, their courtyard is filled with gold. Right, they have never seen so. I mean, they have gold to last them for 5 generations, maybe. Wallah alam. There's gold everywhere. And the story says that one of the big traders and businessmen of the time, after this whole thing happened, he came to the house and he said, "Sell me that belt of the governor because the governor likes that belt. I will buy it from you and I'll gift it back to him. So sell me that belt. How much would you want for this belt?" And gave them a big amount of money for the same belt. Right? Now all this happened. So while all this is happening, they are so happy, they're getting all this gold, whatnot, they can't get. And somebody said, where is this girl? Where is our little sister? And they go looking for her. She's sitting in a room and she's crying. So the mother said to her, you are a strange thing. When we were in so much of difficulty, you are laughing. Now when we have so much of gold and the governor says that, you know, we are going to get food from the palace every day and everything, and you are crying? She said, I'm crying because This is the result. She says, I'm crying because a slave of Allah, Abdullah, looked at us with karam once. Huh? A slave of Allah looked at us with karam, with kindness once. And this is the result. What will happen when? Allah karamu la karameen. Will look at us with kindness when we stand before it. Huh? Ajib, eh? This is Allah. This is Allah. This is the result of understanding Allah. Result of ta'alluq ma'Allah. Result of having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of us here and all our families and all those who are not here among those who will stand before Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, and He will look at us with karam. Khalas, we don't need anything more. We just need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look at us with karam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Rabbana faqfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir lana sayyatina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.